All right, so we were trying to figure out.
Not we.
Well, of course, because you are obviously of no help.
Because it's a dumb question. I got lots of things to think about.
You got nothing
other than
to think.
This,
you got
nothing. There's a lot of papers laying here.
You got nothing to think about.
Okay, and then Boffo handed me the All-Star starters.
The only thing worse than your long-term memory is your short-term memory. And I'm the old one. I'm supposed to have memory issues. But I was trying to figure out if we've ever done a show together this late in the year talking about a first-place team. Because this is the first time the Jays have been in first place this late in the season since September 6, 2016. A lot in the world's changed since 2016. I was trying to figure out you. I figured Barker will know for sure because he's younger than me. He goes, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't care. That's a difference.
That'd be nice. Anyhow, the Jays, as we all predicted, are tied with the Yankees for first place. They actually have more wins in the season series, I believe. And it's weird because some places the standings list the Yankees on top. Some places they list the Jays on top. That could be settled tonight. The Jays win. Sweep the Yankees.
Oof.
It was hard last night. It was hard the night before when they didn't have Bo.
Things going to be harder tonight.
Not only do they not have Bo, not only do they not have Dalton Varsho, not only don't they have Anthony Santander, they are without Andrés Giménez, who I presume is bothered by that ankle injury. So the Jays lineup is as follows. Nathan Lucas leading off.
Mm-hmm.
George Springer DHing, Vladdy at first, Barger cleaning up and right, the captain behind the plate, Ernie Clement at short, Will Wagner at third, Davis Schneider left, Leo Jimenez second base. That's basically, I think that was Buffalo's starting lineup like a
sure
month ago.
Sure looked like it.
Chris Bassett on the mound. There you go. So it's obviously set up for the Jays to score 16 runs tonight. They scored 11 last night.
Yeah.
I lost track. They won 11-9.
Yeah.
One of the best games I've seen? I don't know. Entertaining games? Yeah. 11-9.
After the fifth inning, it was really good.
7 runs in the first inning on 37 pitches by Will Warren. And then Jose Berríos chased in the fifth inning. Then Aaron Judge ties the game, and then the Jays win on a wild pitch in opposite field single. Some smart base running, some bad Yankees defense, and there we are. They are tied. I mean, we'll be joined by Jeff Passan later on. Kevin, their run differential is plus six.
Yeah.
Expected one loss
mm-hmm.
record that's based on run differential. The Jays are .500 team based on that.
Yeah.
And they're in first place.
Yeah, well, there's 6 teams in the American League that are above .500 when it comes to their record. They have the worst out of the 6 teams in run differential. Yankees and Tigers have 103 plus run differential. The Rays are plus 69. The Astros are plus 49. The Mariners are plus 15. And your Jays, Jeff.
They're your Jays.
Are plus 6.
Well, they're my Jays.
Mean anything to you?
I don't know. Well, it means that they're, frankly, they're over their skis a bit.
You think
I
so?
Think. I really don't care. It's when you win the games, not by how much, I think. I understand why, and we asked this question, and we'll go to the back leg line at 416-413-3959. Simple question. Are you buying this? Not this sheet of paper, not this show, but are you buying? I hope you're buying the show. And if you aren't buying the show, you can call the ad department. They will. Anyhow, are you buying? Jays are first place team. You know, Michael Kay on the Yes Network a couple of days ago said he didn't think they were first place team. And he cited the run differential and expected one loss, and I mm-hmm. couldn't argue with him.
Yeah.
They should not be in first place. But they are in first place, and I don't know if that says more about
okay,
them.
You look at the Yankees.
Or the team they're
you look
chasing.
At the Yankees. What do the Yankees do better than the Jays?
They Max Fried and Aaron Judge. That's it. I'm serious.
They have a better rotation, you would think, ERA-wise, just mono-a-mono rotation-wise up against the Blue Jays. They have a better rotation. Look at stats. Stats will tell you they have a better rotation than the Blue Jays. And they have Judge.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays' pen is better. They have a better ERA in the pen. They strike out more guys.
Oh, hell of a lot better.
And they strike out more guys out of the pen than the Yankees do. The Blue Jays are a better home team than the Yankees are road team. So if you're playing the Yankees at the Rogers Center this year, the Blue Jays are a better team than the Yankees. Yankees are, I think, a game above 500. The Jays are like 10 games above 500 at home. They're a better team. For me, if the Blue Jays went to Yankee Stadium, probably the Yankees are a better team. The Yankees come to the Rogers Center this year.
It's the same crap defense. It's the same dumbass base running.
I'm just saying, with what the Jays have to go through to be the offensive team that they want to be on the road, it's between their ears now. I mean, they're taking giant machines on planes that never have done that before because they can't figure out why the routines and the things that add up at home are not adding up on the road. Now, I'm sure khakis have dug into that trying to figure out. Look at your face.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Basically, it's
they're so if you, they
you,
were
you
playing
can make
this
arguments
series,
for both teams is what I'm
no,
saying.
You can't. If
yes,
they were
can.
Playing this series at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees would have won the first three games.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they'd have a better chance just because they hit more homers. They are the Blue Jays, for whatever reason, don't travel the way they play at home. When they go on the road, they're a different team. Yes or no? Yes or no?
No.
Well, you're watching a different team than I'm watching. Because they're way better. The Blue Jays are a way better team at home than they are on the road.
Yeah, they've got a
way better team.
They've got a better
so
home.
You're watching a way different game than I'm watching.
They've got a better home record than they do a road record. That's true.
I'm just saying, whenever you listen to Michael Kay basically say there's only one team in the American League East that should be in first place all year, and it's the Yankees. Now, obviously, what he does for the Yankees.
Did he say that?
He's trying to poo-poo on the Blue Jays.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because
no.
of run differential.
No.
That's basically that's basically what he's doing.
He's not poo-pooing them.
What's he doing then?
He's saying that their run differential, that their one loss
record.
They're
not a very good team.
He said that their one loss record doesn't make sense given their run differential, and he's right. That's all he said. He said that for him, they're not a first-place team based on their run differential. Other people feel that way as well. He didn't say anything about the Yankees as the first-place team. I think, if anything, he also went on to talk about the Rays. So,
You could argue three different ways in
no,
the American
can't.
League. Yeah, sure you could. I
no,
mean,
you
can make a case for the Rays. You can make a case right now for the Blue Jays with the way they play defense, with the way their pen's looking, with the way their offense don't strike out. I mean, 1-9. I mean, you could argue they're a tough out. You got to make good pitches to get them out. Like, you could argue that. So you can make arguments, I think. If you're a fan base of all three teams, you can make an argument for all three teams.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I'll tell you one thing. The Yankees fan base right now, they're not saying that they're the best team in the American League East. They're far from it. I mean, they're ready to fire folks. They're not as bad as Boston Boston fans are loopy, and there's the historic reason.
It happens every year with the Yankees and
Boston
their fan
fans
base.
Are
it's
loopy.
The way it is. I mean, they expect them to never lose. 162-0. It doesn't happen that way.
It's odd because
they're a flawed team.
And it's odd too because they haven't won a World Series in ages.
Their defense is slow. I mean, it looks like they're going in slow motion on the defensive side. Offensively, they got one dude.
Now, here's something that you talk about it's not what you do, it's when you do it. This from Sportsnet stats. So this is the Blue Jays since May 29th.
Yeah. Because
we're talking about, so hold the thought about the run
small
differential.
Small sample size. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
There you go.
More than a month. 31 games. Their record's 21-10. Their run differential in those games is plus 32. Their runs per game is 594. Their OPS is 803, and their average of runners in scoring position is 347. So if you want to know why they're in first place, regardless of the run differential, it's because while they've been doing that, the Yankees have been sucking, and the Rays have just kind of been doing the Rays thing. They've kind of been going along. So if you want to know why, like that's why I'm that's why I'm buying. I mean, I'm buying.
You're buying first place.
I'm buying. Yeah, I am buying what I see from this team. Absolutely, I am. They shouldn't. They shouldn't be here yet. Here they are. Therefore, I'm buying it. Whether they're doing it without Vladdy's got to be better. I mean, he just has to be better at some point. He has to be better.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, he's got to be better. Anthony Santander, he's got to contribute. Like, they've done all this without three, you know, without two regular everyday players. And, you know, now Bo's out. And Vladdy just kind of, you know, being basically the third best player in the team. And they're doing it with, you know, starting pitching that's, I mean, it's not like these guys are going out and blowing folks away every night. You know, that's why we talked the other day about John Schneider. I think John Schneider's done a hell of a managing job this year. It's one of the best managing jobs I've seen from a Blue Jays manager in a long time. Because he's dealing with not a lot of guarantees. John Schneider doesn't have a lot of guarantees when he goes into every game.
Well, you just said the Buffalo Bisons are starting tonight. That's what he's dealing with. I mean, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but this is basically, right?
All right, we're going to, this was what Mike, we referred to something Michael K said. This is the audio, and it's from yesterday's show. So this is what Michael K said. Just so people know that we're, you know, what we're talking about, please play the audio.
The Blue Jays are not a first place team. I'm sorry. If you look at the run differential, the Yankees' run differential is plus 105. The Blue Jays, after a 12-5 win, finally got into the positive yesterday. They're plus four. Do you realize that they should be a 500 team because of a plus four run differential? And the Yankees should have at least four or five more wins with a plus 105 run differential. They're not playing great baseball. I'm sorry, they're not.
There you go. That's
what he's talking about. Michael, the Blue Jays are not playing great baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, some would argue they're playing great baseball with the names that they're playing with. Well, that's what
I don't know what. Hang on. I don't know when he said they're not playing baseball. I don't know if that was an answer to a question. Did somebody say to him, how much of it is the Yankees and how much of it is the Blue Jays? So maybe he's suggesting the Yankees aren't playing good baseball. Before we start tying in that, you don't know whether or not he said the Blue Jays aren't playing good baseball or the Yankees aren't playing good baseball.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of sitting around thinking about, you know, what other teams are doing instead of trying to fix the Yankees. I mean, that's just... You're trying to make excuses for what's going on in the American League East when there's a couple of teams in the American League East that all of a sudden can do things by, you know, with what they got, which is kind of exciting. I mean, just the way the Blue Jays won yesterday, the last couple of years, they're not doing that. Like, just by – they got punched in the mouth. I mean, their best – Barrios, their best pitcher? Yeah, their best pitcher with the big lead that they had, fifth inning. I mean, he just went through the gauntlet of – you know, things that could go wrong in an inning, whether it's bad pitching, he was predictable, he had some bad luck. I mean, he was basically calling uncle. I mean, and then they come back and they win it with guys like Schneiders of the world, Bargers of the world. I mean, it just gets back to that. I don't know how – I'm with you. I think you sort of have to buy into it because we've basically been seeing this for a while. I mean, it just didn't happen last week. We've been seeing this. It's a big enough sample size to go, man, can they continue to do this? Can they continue? That's the thing. I think they got 76 games left, or 79. 39 of those are on the road. For me, that's where it's going to be decided. You play four or five games above 500 on the road out of those 39 – because of the way all of a sudden that you're starting to play at home, where it's tough, you're never out of it, it seems like. The way they play defense, the way they hit the ball, the way they don't strike out at home, the way, you know, the bullpen is hopefully, fingers crossed, the GM goes out and does something. This is what I said. You know, again, this is what I said. It just seems like when the Yankees come here, the Blue Jays are better than the Yankees because of the way they play at home.
I mean, that hasn't always been the case.
It hasn't been. No, but it is always now.
The Yankees are a game above 500 away from home.
There you go.
Jays are 2 under, Tampa 6 over, Boston 7 under, and nobody cares about the Orioles. I think what we're seeing right now is what we all thought about the Yankees at the start of the year. I mean, there were some people on this show who thought that the Boston Red Sox were the best team in the American. I'm putting my
both
hand
of
up.
Us. I think
both
I was in
thought,
that camp too.
Thought the Boston Red Sox are the best team. I didn't expect. I thought the Yankees might get a wild card spot. I didn't think they were anywhere near as good as the Red Sox because of the Gerrit Cole injury. I did. You know, Carlos Rodon has had a nice little rebound. Max Fried has been terrific. But when I compare the teams, and Aaron Judge is on another planet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not certain if you subtract Max Fried from that rotation, I'm not certain they're a great deal better than the Blue Jays. The Yankees have two things the Jays don't have right now. One, they have an ace. They have a guy who's capable of going out and shoving for 7 or 8 innings. Anywhere. Yeah. Any team, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Aaron Judge, who's the best hitter in the, I mean, we can have that argument. Let's call him the best hitter in the planet.
Right-handed hitter.
They have two best right-handed hitters.
Yeah.
They have two things the Jays don't have. Other than that, I think the Jays are better than them. They're better defensively.
Yeah.
Bullpen's better.
Mm-hmm.
And
they put the ball in play.
They put and
against a bad defense.
Their philosophy, not striking out. They have a better, to me anyhow,
mm-hmm.
to me they look like they're a more complete team than the Yankees. You know, I look at the Jays. And this is the thing I realized last night. Despite the fact the Jays have injuries to regulars, let's look at the fill-ins. Dude in center field, he can start for me in center field. I mean, if Dalton Varsho comes back healthy and at some point you want to have a discussion about whether you trade Dalton Varsho to get something else,
mm-hmm.
I'd have that discussion.
Wow.
Dude in center field he can play center field for me.
Mm.
Third base was an issue, you thought, going in the year.
Yeah.
I'd take Ernie catching a ball at third than Jazz. Hell, I'd take me catching a ball at third than Jazz Chisholm, to be honest. The Yankees catching situation, as long as Austin Wells has a finger issue, is atrocious. I mean, their catcher cost them the game last night.
Yeah.
Their catcher cost them the game last night.
He ain't the only one, but yeah, I get your point.
He had a hand. He was not up to the task. At crunch time,
he does what every other catcher does,
and you know, we've seen that. We saw the JC Ascaro, we saw Aaron Boone ripping into him during the game a couple of days ago. DJ LeMahieu, I mean, I go around Paul Goldschmidt scuffling. I go around the Yankees lineup, and I'm not certain that they're. I mean, I'm just not certain they're better than the Jays. They've got two things the Jays don't have. Other than that, to me, it's a whole bunch of similar stuff, except the Jays, for the most part, can all catch the ball, all throw to the right base, and, you know, as you said, they don't strike out a lot.
Yeah.
So
their defense is better. Their bullpen's better. And the Yankees are leaning on the ace. And dude that nobody can pitch around other than John Schneider. And we saw that having some issues in the eighth inning last night, which that's exactly what I'd have done.
I'm okay. I want to go. I kind of dragged us off base, so to speak, a little bit here. I wanted to talk about that. We talked about it in Blue Jays talk. The decision to have Jimmy Garcia, who threw, 34 pitches last night in his return, the decision to have Jimmy Garcia pitch to Aaron Judge. The Jays have been really judicious. Get it? Judicious?
Mm.
They've been very picky with Judge. They've intentionally... John Schneider's philosophy is basically, I don't care if Aaron Judge is on base. I just don't want him holding a bat in his hand. If he's on first base and somebody else drives him in, God bless you. I just don't want Aaron Judge doing the driving in. Of course, last night, Aaron Judge cranks that ball from Jimmy Garcia. And immediately... You're thinking, why didn't John intentionally walk him there?
Yeah, I'm not.
And you made the point, and I can see both sides of the argument. Although as I was driving home last night, I kind of came down more on your side of the argument.
Mm.
Jimmy Garcia is one of my dudes. Like he's one of my guys.
You got two dudes. He's one of them.
He's one of them. I mean, yes. Siddle talked about this yesterday. You like to think that Jimmy would go, oh, okay. You know, I mean, there's. Guy's got what? He's got 100 home runs, and I see we're trying to win the game. But you've also, at the same time, got to balance off. This is the this guy's first. What am I saying to the guy? Am I saying, Jimmy, essentially, I don't think you're good enough to get Aaron Judge out? Do I want to say that to a guy who at some point is going to have to get Aaron Judge out if we want to go where we're going? So I didn't know about that. Driving home, when we did Blue Jays talk, my initial reaction was I would have walked Judge. Mm. Driving home, the more I thought about it, I kind of came down on your side a little more. Although I still think there's a way to split the difference, and I talked about that. I think you pitch to Judge. Mm-hmm. Once it gets to 2-0.
Yeah, it wasn't 2-0, though. It was 0-2. I mean, they were obviously trying to get him out.
Yeah, but I'm saying on balance, that would have been, if I was going to pitch to maybe that was the plan. If I was going to pitch to Judge, that would have been my approach. You got a couple of pitches.
Every once in a while at home, the way your team's playing, what you're trying to do in July, you ain't walking this dude. I'm sorry. If there's a lefty throwing like he has done it, right, the Fluharties, the Littles, the Brules of the world, absolutely. You're watching this on TV. He's trying to go down and away with the sweeper. He set it up perfectly. He went sinker in first pitch. He got a wild swing because he's looking for something to bridge. He wants to cheat, beat Jimmy to the spot, and hit the homer to the pull side. It's easier to do that than it is take the inside out swing and hit a homer to right field. This ain't Yankee Stadium. I mean, he sort of geared up his swing, his approach to go to that little short porch to right. Not saying he can't go there. I'm saying it's easier to do it to the pull side. Jimmy set it up just right. It's the 0-2 curveball that is a little mind-boggling for me, that was a little non-competitive. After it gets 1-2, then what? Right? I mean, you know, you would like to say you don't walk or you try not to walk and have four non-competitive pitches out of the six to Ben Rice. That's the key part of that, right? And then if the donkey hits a ball to the moon, who cares? You're still up a run. It's the walk before him was the issue. I was saying on Jay's talk, there ain't no way. Dude hadn't pitched since the 22nd of May. He's one of your two dudes. July, with what's at stake, with where you're pitching, with how you've been doing, with who you're facing, there's no chance. You're walking. How, if you're John, are you calling Jimmy in his office after the game and basically saying to him, I know you've come back. I know you're one of the two dudes. I just don't think in the past you're 3-for-12 against him with 5 Ks and he hadn't hit a big one off you because you're pretty good at throwing to him. I mean, you can give up hits to him, and if he makes a decent pitch, doesn't have to make a great pitch with 2 strikes. I'm not saying he's going to get him out, but he's probably not hitting a homer. It's just no way if you're John, you're selling that to Jimmy Garcia. No way you're doing that. Anybody else other than Hoffman? Absolutely. You take your chances with Bellingers of the world and Stantons of the world. I can throw a non-competitive sweeper to Stanton and get him out. Absolutely. But man alive, like there every once in a while, there's got to be a time if you're a manager with where your team's at, with what they've done, with who's not available for your team, that sometimes you just got to get out of the way and let your dudes be dudes. Didn't work out. Ultimately, they won the game. Man, but just July, early in July, I guess that guy, it's no chance I'm walking him. Just no chance I'm selling that to one of my better players. Not a chance. Well, especially when I need him. Now, last week of September, yeah, different story. But not first week of July. No way, man.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. Your chance to have your say ahead of the Yankees-Jays series finale. If you've got a question for John Schneider, the skipper will join us tomorrow. Feel free to leave a question for him, name and location, please. Jeff Passan of ESPN joins us for his weekly hit. Pete Caldera, Yankees beat reporter with the Bergen Record in USA Today. He is in town, and Pete Caldera will join us later on in the show, and we will have John Schneider's media availability. Again, if you've missed it, no Bo Bichette in the lineup tonight. No indication yet. I haven't seen anything anyhow as to whether or not he'd be available to pinch hit. You kind of got, I think John kind of hinted he was yesterday. But no Bo Bichette in the lineup. Nathan Lucas drawing the assignment leading off against Clark Schmidt. So there you go. We'll be back with your questions. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective.
Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy.
Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker ahead of a 7:07 first pitch tonight at the Rogers Center. The Jays going for a sweep of the New York Yankees and sole possession.
That's crazy.
I can't even say it. I'm not going to say it. Sole possession of first place in the
AL. Well, you just said it.
Well, there you go.
Well, don't say it if you're not going to say it.
No. Still said it.
I mean, I don't know. Question for you, 416-413-3959. Is this first place team? I guess, obviously, dumbass, it is a first place team, you're saying, because they've got to share a first place. Is this a first place team?
For real.
For real.
Yeah.
You buying this? When Barker and I come on the air on September
10th.
29th, 30 days has September.
That's too long. That's
well,
too
long. Just let me finish.
Well, that's too long.
But when we do that, are we going to be talking about the Jays wild card game in Minnesota against the Twins?
Hush, you hush.
I know. I,
that's going to be the race.
That's a real,
in Tampa.
That's a real.
You know it's happening.
That's a real dick thing to say. Twins. Are we going to be talking about the Jays? I just did. Are we going to be talking about the Jays getting ready for a wild card game? Or are we going to be sitting there asking ourselves,
wow,
you know,
what's the big three going to do with all this rest?
Who gets the start in the, in, you know, who gets the start because they're division champion? Who gets the start after the wild card series are over? Will it be Jose Berríos? Will it be Kevin Gausman? Will it be Mitch Keller? Will it be Zach Gallen?
Who?
Will it be Luis Severino? I mean, any of these guys.
Don't you tease me like that.
I don't know if that's.
I like that one.
I don't like it.
You don't?
I got to do better.
Good luck.
You know what intrigues me? I will get the calls in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Miller.
Yeah.
Now, Mason Miller is, you know, the guy who throws a trillion miles an hour for the Oakland Athletics.
Is yeah.
Or the Athletics, not the Oakland Athletics. The A's. He's their closer.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Jim Bowden on the Athletic, mm-hmm, talking about different players who are, you know, likely in the trade block. There are executives that he spoke to who view Mason Miller as a starter. Now, he's got, I think, 3 years of control left at least. His thought process was somebody should trade Mason Miller right now and use him this year, be your closer this year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Then if you want to transition him into a starter, well, you can do that. And the reason I'm throwing that out there is, and it would cost great gobs to get Mason Miller, and I'm not suggesting the Jays necessarily have the talent to do it. But think about that if you're the Jays. You got Jeff Hoffman. You've got Jimmy Garcia for next year. I think Jimmy's under contract for next year. Get Mason Miller this year in a trade. Run him out of your bullpen this year. Now you got that high school game you're talking about. Oof. Then next year in the offseason, I mean, you're not going to have Chris Bassett. You know, you got a year left of Kevin Gausman. Maybe Trey Savage is ready to take a step up. And now maybe you start thinking about transitioning Mason Miller into a starter. And
no
apparently
chance.
He's been open to it.
No chance.
Well, if you're the Jays, mm-mm, it might make more sense to do that if you don't have a starting pitcher.
Alec Manoah.
That's one. Alec Manoah.
My owner likes to spend tons of money, gobs of it. So I'll go out and buy me some more starters. They're real good at buying starters.
Yeah, there's nobody out there you're going to buy.
They'll figure it out.
You know what you're going to buy? You're going to end up buying next year's Chris Bassett.
So you want to bring Mason Miller to the American League East and teach him how to be a starter?
I am.
Yeah, good luck.
Not this year, no. You only hear what you want to hear.
Who'd I get
that
from?
I said he would pitch out of the bullpen. I said he would pitch out of the bullpen this year. All right.
I mean, he throws 182 miles an hour.
Let's go to
Don't overthink it.
Yeah. Jack in Toronto.
regarding what Michael Kay has said about the Blue Jays not being a first-place team. In my opinion, what wins championships and what first-place teams are is based on defense. And last night's game showed the better defense by the Blue Jays. The Yankees made defensive errors, not picking up the third-base bunts, not picking up the catcher when he throws to second base, and also the pass ball. So I think the difference between the Yankees and the Blue Jays seems to be the defense that the Blue Jays is putting out much better over the Yankees. I listen, and I like your show. I listen to any Thank comments. You. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. Look,
Jack's right, first of all.
Yeah, he is absolutely right.
He is. Yep.
Yeah. Power wins World Series.
Helps.
Defense can cost you World Series. Mm-hmm. Ask the Yankees. Because I think one of the reasons that you see so much emphasis or so much concern in New York about the Yankees' defense because they got memories of that, how the World Series ended. I mean, you just do. You know, George Springer and Bo Bichette, that collision put the Blue Jays franchise back 3 years.
Boom.
That collision, that loss to Seattle, the resulting decision to trade Teoscar and Lourdes Gurriel because we got to get better defense. And by the way, nobody mentions, I do believe Jackie Bradley Jr. was on that team. And one thing I might have done, second guessing, is have Jackie Bradley Jr. out there for his outfield defense. Was he on that team at that point?
Sure.
He could have been in center field. Anyhow, but the point is the Jays overreacted to that. The front office overreacted to that. All of a sudden, you know, it became about run prevention. Got to get better defensively. And the Jays, they paid the price. They made a couple of moves that probably you'd rather not make.
Absolutely.
In hindsight. And it certainly set the organization. There's no doubt it set the organization back. Mm-hmm. It led to 2 years of baseball. So that's in Toronto. Now think about the Yankees in the World Series last year. So think of how that is going to resonate in New York. That's why the Yankees defense, one, it is an issue, but two, that's why it's such a talking point. It's such a talking point there. And it's funny because I think Susan Waldman referred to this. The guy who up until this year had been kind of spared that was Anthony Volpe. And now there's a lot of concerns about Anthony Volpe's defense.
That's because who's playing third?
Bingo.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's...
That is 100%. That is exactly... That's the nut of the whole thing. The nut of that whole... The whole Yankees issue, to my way of thinking, is the catching and third base. You cannot win a playoff series with Jazz Chisholm as your third base.
And Gerrit Cole. I mean, that's a big loss. That's a huge loss, too.
But Max Fried makes up for that.
He does. I mean, he doesn't hurt, but it would help if you had that righty-lefty thing, right? Yeah. Rodon's your number three guy instead of your number two guy. But I'm with you. You nailed it.
Yep. Ilya in Toronto. Ilya.
This plus run minus one differential means absolutely nothing. You get games that are 13-1 and games that are 5-6. The only ones that count are 5-6. It's like in the NFL, there's garbage points. Hope you appreciate my comments. Look forward to talking to you soon.
No, thanks, Ilya. I mean, listen, nothing is everything in baseball. I mean, it just isn't. Nothing explains everything about the game. There's no one stat that explains everything about the game. The reason I think a lot of people started using run differential quite simply is because a lot of front offices use run differential as part of the way they judge where their team is.
Complete game.
Right.
It's that kind of thing, right?
Can you pitch?
Can you hit? Can you play defense? All those mesh together.
That sort of tells you that. It's also, I think front offices use it to help them decide whether or not what they're seeing is real and whether or not what they're seeing is sustainable. You know, we talked about Alex talking about that the year he decided to go all in. He just said, I looked at the run differential. I looked at the games we had left.
Okay. let me ask you a question. You read the stats since May, what was it, 29th?
Yeah.
You think the Jays are looking, front office, the entire season, the plus six, or the plus 31 for the last month? Which one do you think they're looking at?
I'm not entirely certain they're looking at anything right now. I think you do it when you get a little closer to the trade deadline. If I'm the Jays, I'm looking at I'm looking at May 29th. That's a month. Like, I don't know if this run can continue, but it's been a month.
Yeah.
It's not been a week. It's been a sixth of the season, roughly, right? Roughly a sixth of the season. So there's a tendency to overreact to bad months. The old story, you're never as bad as you are when you really suck, and you're never as good as you are when you're really good. There's some place in between.
I just think
hopefully it tilts towards
good. I think you got to figure out why you're doing that.
Yeah, and I think they also, the Jays, in the background of all this is Vladdy, Santander, and to a certain degree, Varsho. Because you have to have faith that you're going to get something out of those three when they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, I think maybe, what did I say? They're averaging almost six runs a game in those 30. If I'm doing, like, I think what has happened is, I think the talk about going at the trade deadline and needing a hitter, I mean, you can always add a hitter. But okay, if I'm Ross Atkins, Ross Atkins said the other day, we want to add a right-handed bat. If Davis Schneider keeps this going,
mm-hmm.
or is, you know, he's not going to hit two home runs a game. But if Davis Schneider keeps this approach and looks a little bit more like the guy he was when he came in, to me, what that does is that removes the possibility of adding a guy like a Tommy Pham. Because every team at the trade deadline, they add a Tommy. I mean, there's a reason Tommy Pham gets traded every trade deadline.
Sure.
Right-handed hitter can do some stuff for you. Yeah. He's not going to kill you, blah, blah. So
cheap.
I think if you see that from Davis Schneider, and then you get Santander back, like, I think all of a sudden, if you're the Blue Jays, you can really, really, really zero in on pitching. Like, the thing that this 31 games has really done for me is it's bought the Jays some time to figure out what is real and what isn't real.
Mm.
It's bought them some time to get to the point where they're talking about Alek Manoah possibly contributing in August or September.
Yeah.
Who knows what contributing means? It may only mean making one or two starts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's there's some extenuating circumstances with this team. It's a hard team to read. You know, I mean, party that thinks that the bottom of the order can't keep it up all year. But you know what? They kind of sort of have. I mean, even when they were scuffling, we were looking at games and going, what were we saying? I mean, John Schneider's lineup is genius. The top guys are coming up to the plate with two men on most of the time. They're just not getting the job done. So that's the thing that I find really confusing about all this is the bottom of the order's kind of done this all year, right? They've kind of contributed all year. So, this may be a good time. You know, this may be a time we should all be thankful the Jays have as many khakis as they do. Cause I think you really, I think you really need to do a deep dive into this team.
Oh yeah. I got to get serious. Like they haven't already for the last 9 years, they've been here as a front office. Doubling up on them, you think?
This is a more intriguing year than 2015. This is, to me right now, more intriguing than 2015 or 2016.
Well, jobs are on the line, maybe.
Well, jobs are on the line in 2015.
They are again this year.
Manager almost lost his job halfway through the year in 2015. Nick and Dysart, Saskatchewan.
Going back to the game there on Canada Day and George Springer's big day, it got me thinking, whatever happened to curtain calls? You don't see players popping up out of the dugout anymore, especially after a big game. So, that was my question. Glad we're in first place, and let's keep it rolling. Nick, love the show. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. Shout out to Saskatchewan. I thought about that. I'm never going to tell fans you got to do this. You pay your money, you can do what you want. But, man, Grand Slam on Canada Day. Other teams do have curtain. I mean, the Yankees have curtain calls. The Yankees have curtain calls in the home opener, for God's sake. I was a little surprised about that.
Yeah.
Now.
Maybe it's the player.
Bingo. That's what I was thinking about. I mean, it's hard. You know, think about this. George hits a home run. He's got to run around the base. He's got to put the jacket on. He's got to high-five everybody down. By that point, there's a lot going on.
Too much, huh?
There's too much going on. But I did think of that. I would, you know what? Let's make that a thing and try. I think we should bring the – if these guys are going to hit home runs at home, because God knows, folks, you spent 2 years watching run prevention.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been – exactly. You spent 2 years watching guys – there's nothing wrong with great defense, but, you know, no one gets a curtain call for great defense.
They don't?
No. So maybe we ought to start doing that. Yeah. We're having curtain calls.
I think you'd have to talk the player into it. Who's going to do it? Vladdy do it?
Oh, God,
Bo,
yeah.
Bo do it?
They've done it.
No chance Bo's doing it.
We've had
Bo's
curtain,
done it?
We've had curtain calls here. Yes, we've had curtain calls here in the past couple of years. Absolutely. And Vladdy's done it. I mean, all you got to do is go out and, you know, put your hand up in the air like that. Yeah, they've had curtain calls. We haven't had any in recent years because the team hasn't been that good. And they haven't hit a lot of home runs at home. And there really hasn't been a great deal to get excited about. But, yeah, I would do that now. I would start make it a thing. You know, you got to turn it. We've talked about the home field advantage. The way this team plays, kind of the balls to the wall, you know, way they play the game, make it feel a little more like 2015 and 2016. It started the last 3 days. So maybe this is the next step. Have curtain calls. I like that. I like that. More curtain calls. But yeah, great. I mean, you talked about it. That was like the most badass thing you can do.
It's crazy.
Yankees, Canada Day.
Oh.
Big crowd.
Everybody's begging for it.
And you did it.
And nobody cheered for you afterwards.
Well, it's not because
you're old and it took you too long to run around the bases, as Blair would say. And it took you forever to get the jacket on.
I didn't say it took you too long.
If it was me, I'd be getting curtain calls every day, all day.
Number one, you're old.
Mike in St. John.
Question for both of you. Is the opening day starting pitcher for the Jays in 2026 coming to us via trade at this upcoming deadline? Would love to hear your thoughts. All right, love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Yes. How about that?
Absolutely.
I think our friend Mr. Davidi was on to something. I think you were going to see the Jays try to make another Jose Berrios-type deal, get a guy with a little bit of control, get a guy who potentially could be your number one guy. And I think they've probably got enough depth in the minor league system to do it now. And maybe they've got some guys on the major league roster you could toss in there as well. But I do think that's what they'll do. I think that there's a chance. I think there's a really good chance next year's opening day starter is acquired at the deadline. How about that?
I'll sort of double down on it and say, fingers crossed, I hope so. Yeah. I think to be a better team, they need one. They need a number one.
Yeah, they do.
Jose's thrown a ton, like a bazillion innings. Like, I mean, sooner or later. Look, it's a beautiful thing, and he's in tremendous shape. But,
yeah,
I mean, that's a lot to ask, boy. Whew, you got your money worse from that guy. Holy moly.
Money well spent there.
Are you kidding me?
That was,
he has bailed them out some kind of.
Yeah.
All three of them, but Jose especially.
Simeon Wood, Richardson, and Austin Martin. That was a pretty good deal.
Wasn't bad.
That was a pretty good deal. I would hate to think where this team would be without Jose Berrios.
In a mess.
It's funny, I was even thinking about that last night when he kind of got taken out of the game. I just thought. It's funny, but it's almost at times when you see a game like that, you realize how consistent the guy has been for you. Would you like to see a few more strikeouts? Would you like to see a little better ER? Well, his ERA now wasn't bad until last night. I just think that for John Schneider and Pete Walker, being able to look ahead and go, okay, I'm getting six tonight.
Yeah. He's a really good number three on a really good team.
Yeah.
He's being asked to do way more than he should be.
Jason from London.
Real simple. Just address why we decided to pitch to Judgeton last night. That's it. Thank you. Love the show.
Thanks, Jason.
I just answered.
Do it again.
I don't want to wore me out. It's the right thing to do. That's why. I find it hard to believe that a hockey country ain't buying into that. Every once in a while, your dude against their dude. Why not? Yeah, I mean, again, he hit a homer. They were tied. They weren't losing. That's the worst case scenario. They're tied. I believe in my offense. Every once in a while, you got to believe in your players. John sometimes needs to get the you-know-what out of the way. He did it. That's more reason for me than not. Again, I'll ask you, caller. How do you call Jimmy, who you're going to ask to do special things, healthy from here on? Take us where we need to go. Eighth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, maybe the ninth inning, if Hoffman's not available. And then you're asking him, say, when in the past he hasn't given up a homer, 3 for 12, 5 punchies. He's gotten it done before. He throws a better sweeper, he's probably out again. Not me. I was cheering for that. It didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out, but every once in a while, you just got to go.
Same situation. Same situation. Well, it won't be Jimmy tonight. Same situation tonight, Jeff Hoffman. I guess it depends where you're at.
I'm getting out of the way, too. I mean, that's my two dudes. Again, I said this. July, you're not doing it. September, games on the line. Division's on the line. You're having a serious conversation between all the coaches and all the players would know. Not the first week of July.
What did you think?
Come on.
What did you think of Jeff Hoffman last night?
I think the split finger ain't no good. I just don't know what's up with that thing. Does he need it to get lefties out? If you've got to face three lefties in a row, what's he throwing? I mean, the heater in the zone plays. Does the slider back footing it to a lefty play? Does he have to have a better split finger to get three lefties out? For me, I think so.
It's been a while better now. It's been a while that now been. That the split finger has kind of been funky.
I mean, it's running and it's up. It ain't splitting. Splitting is 12-6. Not running and elevated. That's no bueno. That's good hitting. Kevo got a chance of hitting that thing. That plays, right? That elevated 90s, heater after you've thrown certain pitches. Slider's better. I mean, he got away with that in a little bit, right? The slider was even up right there because he's getting under it. It's more sidearm delivery than staying on top of that thing. He wants it to look like his heater. That split finger's right down the middle. You got away with that. Well, the dude at first, left-hander, split fingers down the middle. That, for me, is a work in progress. But he's found his mojo. He's walking around the mound like he belongs there.
A little bit of a strut now.
I said this when they were facing the Guardians. He needs to get Ramirez and somebody else up a run in the ninth inning. So he got to go out there and believe it. He didn't, I don't think. This is sort of just walking around the mound a little differently now. I just think the split finger's got to find it. And I've talked to people that said they're working on it. They know, they see the same thing I'm seeing. You face three lefties, three really good lefties against a really good team, top of the order. How does he get them out? That's the only thing. But all the other stuff, quite frankly, he's got 20 saves. I think he's third in the American League. Can't argue that. He's found his mojo. You got to beat the guy on the on-deck circle. It looks to me like the last couple outings, he's starting to do that a little bit more.
Yeah, I will say that I was kind of hoping that it would be a little less like the Jordan Romano experience last year where, you know, there were a lot of times where the job got done, but you come away going, oof. But I think somebody asked Joe this. I said the same thing. For me, he's still my guy. Having said that, at the trade deadline, if I can add another power arm to the back of the bullpen to share the load a bit, I would absolutely do that.
I don't think it's for the ninth inning. I think it's I want Jimmy Rodriguez plus another arm to get it to the ninth inning. Yeah. They're a way better team when Hoffman is the ninth inning guy.
Yes.
Because of what Rodriguez and Garcia bring from the sixth to the eighth inning. And then you can throw in Little, and hopefully that other guy, the other guy that might throw 102, you can throw to whoever. You don't have to match up. It's not a pocket. That's best case scenario. That, I'm saying, is the reason why the urgency of the split finger for me has to be there. And hopefully it is, because he looks ready. I mean, he just looks better when the fastball's in the zone and he can do what he wants with the slider.
Jeff Passan is ESPN's MLB insider. Pete Caldera is a Yankees beat reporter with the Bergen Record in USA Today. They'll both join us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of the Sportsnet Radio Network.